That's not a thing. Hey, take a Bible if you've got one, if you brought one with you, or grab one off the pew in front of you. At some point this morning, we'll read a scripture if you'll let me. Do I have a judge that can say order in the court or something like that? There we go, y'all. You got it. Turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. Maybe you know it. Maybe you don't know it in the modern translations. Maybe you hear it in your heart in the King James. However you hear it, let's hear it together. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. I open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. What refreshes your soul? What renews your hope in life? I had a conversation with a friend once. He desperately needed a vacation. It was long delayed. It was much earned. He had been able to schedule 2 weeks off together all in one time. And I said, well, what's your plan? He said, well, for the first week, I plan to sit at the beach and stare at the water. That's the whole first week? Yeah, that's the first week. Sit on the beach and stare at the water. What about the second week? He said, by the second week, I hope to be ready to read a book. How about that? Have you ever been that tired? Have you ever been that worn down by distraction or by suffering? Or just by the grind of everyday life. Maybe vacation is your best hope, the thing that would refresh your soul. What is the world's? When I look at the news today, I wonder, what is the world's hope? I think a lot of people put their hope in politics. That worries me so badly. Because I think in our nation particularly, in our nation with a decline of faith in Jesus Christ, people are going to put faith and trust somewhere. And y'all, I think as bad as I hate to say it, I think our partisan politics have become our religious expression. Where's the world's hope? In politics? Some people put their hope in identity. I think, friends, from the scripture, our identity is given to us by God. It's shaped by our families and by the community that trusts in God together. We seem to have an idea in the 21st century that we make up our identity ourselves. And that we can craft and change and present our new selves to the world. Friends, I go back to the Bible time and time again. And here's what I think about the world's hope. And it's right here in this one psalm. If you don't have hope, here's your hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. If you've already decided that you belong to Jesus and he belongs to you, end of story, period. Your hope is in him because you are held by him. And if you're still on the edge seeking, I want to show you, I hope I can convince you that he's worth your trust, that he's worth your faith, that he is a good enough shepherd to hold you and to make promises to you that he is reliable to fulfill. If you're already a believer in Jesus, we've looked at the Good Shepherd, our namesake image from Scripture. There's a reason we settle on it. It's such a rich It's such a rich picture from the Bible of God's character and the promises He makes. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There are things we've already looked at this month of April, things the Good Shepherd promises us. He promises us direction and movement, a sense of leadership. He will lead us where to go. He promises us His voice. He tells us that His sheep hear His voice and they know Him and they follow Him. He promises His voice to us. He promises His heart. Remember, He's the one. He is the one who will walk away from the sheep that are found and seek after the one that is lost. He's the only one who does that. And so here at the end of April, I want to give you one more picture, one more gift that the Good Shepherd gives you. He restores my soul. He refreshes my soul. There it is in the third verse of the 23rd Psalm. He refreshes my soul. Now you may say this morning, I'm good. I don't breathe deep. I feel all right. I don't need refreshing. I'm here to refresh others. Well, you're going to need it. You may not need it today, but you're going to need it one day. Colin Smith, pastor and writer, says this: at some point in your life, you will need every verse of the 23rd Psalm. But these words seem to be the most wonderful of all. He refreshes my soul. Notice this. You don't have to be an English teacher to know this is the present tense. He refreshes. When I say He refreshes my soul, or when David writes it in the psalm, he's saying this. He's saying God has refreshed my soul at points in the past, and I believe He will continue to refresh my soul many times in the future as well. Why is that important? Isn't that obvious, you might say? Well, if he leads, if He speaks, if His heart seeks after us, isn't that enough? But here's the reality. Here's the reality. We'll still go astray. You, follower of Jesus, you will still go astray. In part because we simply don't like being shepherded. And that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. There's this great image in the Old Testament as the people of Israel have come out of Egyptian slavery. God is guiding them through the desert and the wilderness. And there's a visible sign. There's a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire in the nighttime, so they can look up and they can see, hey, God, is it time to go? Is it time to move? And whatever the cloud does or whatever the fire does, it was clearly visible and they knew where to go and what to do. They knew God was with them, and yet still, they grumbled against one another. They complained. They wanted a taste of that good food they used to have by the Nile River in Egypt, forgetting they were slaves. Forgetting they were slaves, and still God says, I will refresh your soul. Where He leads, where He speaks, where we find it hard to follow, He will refresh our soul. The Good Shepherd finds us when we wander off the path of obedience. He refreshes my soul. Y'all, it's no wonder that the Scriptures give us this image of sheep to describe those of us who are the children of God. And sheep are not, as some would say, sheep are not dumb. Margaret Feinberg in Scattering the Divine, Margaret wanted to understand more about the sheep and shepherd images of the Bible, and she went and sort of apprenticed herself to a shepherding family in rural Oregon. The shepherd she worked alongside said, oh no, sheep are not dumb, but sheep are sometimes defenseless. Sheep are not dumb, they are defenseless. They need help knowing the way. Isaiah said it this way in the Old Testament. Isaiah said, we all like sheep have what? Have gone astray. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on Him, on the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. He has given us a path back to Him. Last week we looked at those parables in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel. The shepherd who's finding the lost sheep, who leaves the 99 and seeks after the one. That is a great parable. It tells us of the goodness of God in seeking those who are lost, those who have not yet put faith in Christ. But there is more hope there. There is also hope there for a sheep who knows he or she belongs in the fold, belongs to Jesus, and yet has wandered off. There is hope that Jesus even receives and restores those sheep as well. Let's get that clearly. Even sheep who believe can wander and go astray. It's true for lost sheep in Luke 15. It's true for a lost son. He was a true son in the family, the prodigal son, we call him. He was a true son, and yet he walked away, abandoning his place in the family. And yet the father waited for him to return. We even sang it in the first song this morning. Come thou fount of every blessing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's a great story. Robert Robinson wrote that hymn. He was only 22 years old when he wrote that hymn. Yeah, what are you doing with your life? 22 years old, he wrote that hymn when his heart was first stirred to faith by hearing, you know I'm going to tell it, by hearing Methodist preaching in 1752 from George Whitfield. Yes, Whitfield, the founder of Bethesda. Outside London, England, Robert Robinson, 22 years old, barely converted to faith, and yet he already knew this. Barely converted to faith in Christ, and he already knew this. He already knew there was something in his heart that wanted to pull him away. And y'all, that truth, that's true for 22, or 42, or 62, or 82. There's something that works in us, in our human flesh. There's something that works in us to pull us away from the voice of the one good shepherd. It's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Two things to note. It's the power of God. It's only the power of God at work in us that keeps us from wandering. But notice, there it is, that magical present tense. Again, it's technically, I don't see Sally this morning, so I'd have to get it right for her. It's present continuous tense. Present continuous tense. It's action that's happening now that continues into the future. To us who are being saved, yes, child of God, you have been saved. Yes, child of God, you are still being saved. God is working out that salvation in you. If you still have breath, if your heart is still beating, there is still room for you to grow, and God is bringing you along on the path. That's why it's so wonderful, isn't it, to celebrate baptism? Because we celebrate that God is working right now. That's such a great, wonderful way to celebrate the renewal of baptism. Several will go down to the river. Several are celebrating renewal of baptism, a recognition that in this season, God is continuing to work in deep and profound ways, and they want to mark it and remember it as a sign of God's work, as a sign of our attentiveness to God's work, while the process is ongoing. You can wander. I'm not giving you permission when I say you can wander. I'm just telling you, you're going to do it. David knew it. That's why he knows the truth of the shepherd who can refresh his soul. You think, well, that's David. That's the Old Testament. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. What about the New Testament? I think there's evidence in the New Testament that Christians, that born-again followers of Jesus, can wander. In Revelation, the beginning of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ gives letters. He gives messages to seven churches, distinct messages to distinct churches. In Revelation chapter 2, we see at the very beginning, we see a message to the church at Ephesus. They had already gotten a letter from Paul, and they needed an extra special verse, an extra special letter from Jesus. Are we that bad off? I hope not. They got a letter from Paul, and they got another special one from Jesus. And here's the checklist. They're hardworking. Ephesians 2:2 says, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. They're hardworking. They're operating in the gifts of discernment. I know that you can't tolerate wicked people. You've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. They're discerning of true teaching. They're loyal. They're loyal, he writes. Jesus says, You have persevered. Can you imagine Jesus walking up beside you and putting his hand on your shoulder and he says, you have persevered. You've endured hardship for my name and you've not yet grown weary. They're hardworking, they're discerning, they're loyal, and yet they wandered. Jesus says, you have abandoned the love for me that you had at first. How about that? I'm glad Jesus just, I mean, he pats him on the back, good. And then he sort of kind of gives it to him in the tail. Like, hey, I need to refresh your soul. Sometimes the refreshing of the soul can't begin until there's an honest assessment of your current reality. So if you've lost peace, if you've lost joy, maybe yes, you're hardworking and discerning and loyal. But here's the question, has everything else taken first place and crowded out your fundamental love for Jesus? Has that somehow gotten lost? And he says, you're doing all this stuff for me. How about you just do stuff with me? How about you just love me? Here's the promise. It's possible to get it back. It's possible to get it back. David did it. Psalm 51 said, David prayed, restore to me, refresh in me the joy of my salvation. I believe that God is still in the business. The Good Shepherd is still in the business of refreshing our souls. Of refreshing our souls. The Good Shepherd revives us when we fall. He refreshes our soul. It's more than just coming after the wanderer and getting you back on the straight path. Because you can slow down, you can fall, you can even get hurt physically or in your heart. Philip Keller is a writer. Philip Keller worked for many years as a shepherd, and he wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Maybe you've seen that. He describes a condition in which a sheep becomes cast. That's the technical word, cast, C-A-S-T. It can happen when a sheep's fleece is long and heavy, when it needs to be shorn, but it hasn't been. When the sheep's fleece is long and heavy, or perhaps when it is carrying lambs and yet to deliver. The problem in either case is the sheep is carrying extra weight. And so if the sheep lies down on its side, all is well. But if by accident the sheep rolls on his or her back, there'll soon be trouble. The sheep can't right itself, and it lies there helpless with 4 feet kicking in the air. I kind of would like to lay down and demonstrate, but I don't think I'll do that. Any volunteers? No. When a sheep is on its back, it cannot refresh itself. It cannot restore itself. Keller says, as it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in its digestive system. And as they expand, they tend to cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially to the legs. So imagine the poor sheep on his back and he's wiggling his legs, and pretty soon, no more blood circulation and he can't even wiggle. And he's stuck or she's stuck. Keller describes how as a shepherd he would restore the cast sheep. He says, I would have to lift her onto her feet, straddling the sheep with his legs. Straddling the sheep, holding the sheep up, rubbing the limbs, rubbing the legs to restore the circulation. This often took quite a little time. And then when the sheep started to walk again, she often just stumbled and staggered and collapsed in a heap once more. But little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. So I ask you, not like your doctor asks you, are you carrying extra weight? Are you carrying extra weight? Is your life drained? Maybe drained by conflict. I preached a message last summer on Elijah and how the prophet Elijah, after a time of intense warfare and spiritual work, ministry against false prophets and wicked rulers, how Elijah went off into the desert fatigued and alone. I preached that last summer. I preached a different version of that message again in Athens this past February for the opening night of a missions conference at St. James Methodist Church in Athens. And an interesting thing, I was preaching for the whole church, but you know who seemed to love that message the most? It was the missionaries. The missionaries who were visiting and who were there to raise their support. Because the conversations I had with them, they were the ones that could admit life had gotten hard. And it had drained them, sometimes of energy and sometimes of joy. And we sensed how God was refreshing the souls and reviving the faint-hearted. For Elijah, the key to refreshing was a time of rest. For Elijah, the key to refreshing was a time of rest. Elijah walked away into the desert. The Bible tells us he fell into a deep sleep. And then an angel appeared to him and brought him water and bread. Y'all, sometimes it's just like kindergarten. All you need is a nap and a snack. Sometimes that's all you really need is a nap and some good food. Elijah got personal time to connect with God. Elijah heard from God a renewal of his calling. A renewal of his calling is what refreshed his soul. And God connected him with another person, a new friend, a partner in ministry, Elisha, so he wouldn't be alone. Maybe God's inviting you. Maybe God's inviting you into a time of rest, a time of deeper connection with Him. That's how he's asking you to wait on his hope so he can have the access he needs to your heart so that he can refresh your soul. Maybe you've been disheartened by suffering. Maybe life has just been really hard in this season. Hebrews 10:32 says, "After you have received the light, you endured a hard struggle with many sufferings." For those who first received that letter to the Hebrews, their suffering was bound up in public shame and reproach because of their faith in Christ. Many of them lost property. They lost social standing. You know, suffering takes its toll. Pain saps strength. Maybe it's the loss of someone you've loved. And you know that that grief has just drained the energy from your life. And we know this. We know that suffering and pain, it can be tolerated for a short term. But when it goes unanswered, when it goes unresolved for too long, we begin to fall. We need refreshing in our souls, even when we have to be patient with the unchanging circumstances around us. We need refreshing for our souls. So how does God restore the soul of the Hebrews? He didn't find them on their backs like a cast sheet. He didn't find them in need of rest and renewal like Elijah. God restored the soul of the Hebrews by giving them a hearty, fresh, robust, new challenge in life. They needed a goal. They needed a reminder that they didn't have it as bad as they thought they did. In Hebrews 12, here's the challenge. "Therefore, since you were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Hebrews 12:12 says, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms, strengthen your weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." Jesus is offering that refreshing himself. That's the promise of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd offers not to send you somewhere for healing, but he offers you to be the refreshing himself. So here's your invitation. So here's your invitation to refreshing. based on the scriptures we've already seen. Maybe it is to find a way for rest. Maybe it's rest that has separated your soul from God in this season. And maybe that time of rest is the place that God's inviting you to receive the gift of refreshing. Maybe in that time of rest, there'll be a time to connect with God through prayer or through a fresh engagement of Scripture. Maybe like Elijah, there's an invitation for you to find a friend, to find a companion for this season of your spiritual journey. Connect with another person. Hear their encouragement. Speak encouragement to them. And so find refreshing for your soul. Or maybe for you, like the Hebrews, it's time to just say, hey, look at Jesus. See how hard he had it? You ain't got it half that bad. Get after it. And you'll find your soul refreshed as you walk with him into the next new season of your life. Friends, some are responding already today by renewing their baptism. We've got the font. Maybe you want to come and like Felix did, have the water touch your forehead one more time. As a reminder that the Good Shepherd is refreshing your soul. He is not leaving you alone. Maybe you just need to come and pray, asking God to help you find the rest that you know you need to take. Or maybe your response involves not coming down front, but finding that new challenge, that new place to serve, that new place to connect in a group or a study of some sort, to find companions, friends for your journey in Christ. Let's hear again the promise. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack no good thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we open our hearts today and we open our hands to have our whole lives refreshed by your Spirit, to be refreshed by the gift, the presence of the Good Shepherd. The one who loves us, who directs us, who speaks to us, who has sought after us, and who even now is refreshing our soul. We love you and we come to you. In Christ's name, amen.